It is 9:07. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. Dee Dee Richardson, Matt Jacobs, and Donovan Lynch are in the house. Donovan is with News Center Maine and the host of Political Brew, seen Sunday mornings. You had a question for Matt, and then I know you got to get out of here for a meeting.
Yeah, so I mean, you were talking about, was it geothermal?
Mm.
And kind of these this interest in alternative energy sources. And my question was, you know, to the best of my knowledge, again, you might just correct me, Maine doesn't have big deposits of fossil fuels. So when we're talking about boosting Maine's economy and creating jobs in Maine, what do you say to the argument that investing in alternative energy sources would create jobs, would create well-paying jobs in maybe parts of Maine that have been economically depressed?
Short answer is yes, as long as it's not the government, right? If business can find a way to make a buck, go make a buck. My company has built a digester up in Clinton, Maine, where we've contracted 7,000 cows and we're extracting the methane out of their poop and putting it in our pipe. So much so that it's about 40% of our residential usage. The problem is it's expensive. And the only reason it works is because California has tax credits for these kinds of things. It ought to be about the market. Does it work? And now, and another misconception is that it's Maine. It's not Maine. We're part of ISO New England for electricity. And so it's the New England states, and we take electricity from the grid. And so what we produce is interesting, but it goes in the pool. It's not determinative. So can we make enough to change the rates in ISO New England? And if you want to get out of ISO New England, that's fine, but you got to pass a federal law to do it.
And don't we also have part of Maine that takes electricity from Canada?
There is a smaller part, Versant Power, up near Bangor and part of it further north, like Ellsworth, up that way. But it's a smaller part. Primarily, we're ISO New England.
So I guess a follow-up question is, you know, you're saying if business can do it, then do it. But surely you need some government cooperation. You can't, you know, go into the ground and extract.
I don't know.
Out.
We did it with oil. We did it with gas. Why would we want in Maine to spend money on it as a government? You know, if the New England states want to get together or something like that, okay. But there's certainly enough incentive in the private sector to find a way to lower electricity costs, isn't there? And energy costs. I would think there's a lot of companies that would pay cheaper if you could find a cheaper way to do it. And when you add these kinds of things, you have to get that money from someplace.
Well, would the lower costs go to the consumer? Because it's not a terrible amount of competition, right? For
well, that's why electricity is so heavily regulated. The problem with what we've done with RPUC now is we've forced right now the biggest culprit in my mind is what we've done with solar. I call it reverse Robin Hood. So you have people in Falmouth who have houses that get cheaper electricity for putting solar panels on their roof, and the poor person in Portland who lives in an apartment has to pay a higher electricity bill because we're subsidizing the rich folks in Falmouth. It makes no sense to me. And that's how we've done it. And what we've done is we've made CMP and Versant collect the tax, which is usury and ought to be forbidden, but we've made them the culprit. And so everybody thinks, oh, CMP is evil because they keep raising my rate. Well, CMP is raising their rate because the PUC is making them raise the rate so that they can hook up solar and wind that costs more, a lot more. And now we've got a governor that's focused on offshore wind. You know, ISO New England came out and said that the amount of land you need to do the offshore wind that the six New England governors have promised is the same size as the state of Connecticut. We're talking about industrializing our ocean. And oh, by the way, around the country, these wind farms people are pulling out left and right because you can't make enough money doing it. New Jersey offered three times the average power rate that they pay now, and Shell pulled out of it, Shell Wind, because you can't make enough money doing it.
I guess the one question that I would have about that is there's a finite amount of oil. There's a lot of it.
But is there, though? Is there? Every time we say we're at peak oil, we do something like the miracle of fracking, which has made us the number one oil and gas producer in the world. And we went from when I was in high school in 79, I know I'm old, I waited in line for gas to go to the prom. and we were out of oil, and there was an oil crisis, and Jimmy Carter, you know, clutched his pearls and wrung his hands. Naval Academy grad, good for Jimmy. And then Reagan came in and said, well, we're going to drill more. And it turns out with the miracle of directional fracking, we changed that narrative. Should we look for other things? The market will always look. What has China done? That's, you know, one of the world's biggest markets. Right. 60% of their grid is coal. And by 2030, they're going to use more coal than the rest of the world combined. They've made their choice, right? And so we all talk about, you know, can we make enough difference in the world? Well, if we come up with something that's cheaper than coal, then the world will adopt it. So let's go do that, but not force it on us before we have something that's a cheaper solution, because we clearly don't.
And that's my whole argument, is that we are artificially forcing us to go down a path where we don't have an abundant resource. And you got to go.
Yes. I just realized thank you so much.
This is fun. It's
great,
good to see you, man.
Great talking with you.
Come back when you can stay a while.
Yeah, no, I'll come earlier next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, come earlier. That'd be great. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, great to be on with
you. It's great. As I said to you, the reason I wanted you to come here, you have a very curious mind. We need more of that.
And you ask good questions, and it's important that we answer and we have debates. And that's the problem that I have right now with our energies. We're not having a debate. We're just decided that solar and wind are going to be it, and we're seeing the results in our electricity prices, and that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, great to be on
Donovan
with
Lynch,
you, too.
Great to see you, man.
Take
appreciate
care.
It.
Be well.
Matt Jacobson is here. David Jones left. He had to go sell some real estate. Donovan will be back with us next Tuesday. We look forward to that as well. Dee Dee and Matt are here. That's a good conversation. It's a really good conversation.
It's, you know, and he's such a good guy and such an interested guy. And I just hope that more of his compatriots in traditional media, you know, begin to start asking critical questions. And we haven't done for a very long time. We've just taken their word for it on so many subjects. You know, energy is near and dear to my heart because I think that's the building block for everything else.
Well, of course it is. Energy is just like blood in the body.
And we have done, you know, I mean, the answer is we're going to make an energy department out of the energy office. I mean what's the point?
Let's be honest here. When did this country really take off?
It's the advent of energy.
Yeah, when John D. Rockefeller came up with Standard Oil.
But it's not just...
That's when the country took off.
But it's not just the country. It's the world. The only thing that's ever gotten people out of poverty is access to available, affordable, and resilient energy sources. Here's my favorite story lately. So the World Bank, of which America is the biggest donor, mm-hmm. has decided they won't loan money to any country that needs it for energy projects, unless it's solar or wind. And so we know it's the most expensive form, so they can't afford to buy it. So here we are making them take loans, if they take any loans, for energy along the lines of solar and wind, and we know it's the most expensive power, so what happens? They can't build it because nobody can pay for it in a place like, you know, pick a place, Africa or Asia.
I go back crazy. T. Boone Pickens is one of the brightest minds financially in our country's history. And he was making a huge investment in West Texas, where the wind always blows and blows big.
Right.
And he pulled the investment, and they didn't do the wind farm because the bottom line was they could never turn a profit on it.
Well, right.
It couldn't happen.
And then the Oracle of Omaha, Berkshire Hathaway, said that that the only reason you do wind and solar is for the tax incentive. There's no other reason.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'm sorry. If that's the basis.
You talked about, what did you call it? Do you guys call it the digester?
We do call it the digester.
The digester.
Up in Clinton. Yes.
So you just said, something really important, which is California has tax subsidies for it.
Right. And so that's what generates the you know, the ability to do it.
And so essentially what this is all about, which is what I've talked about forever, people rail against capitalism in America, but we really don't have capitalism here. We have our brand called crony capitalism, where the government decides who the winners and losers are,
well,
whether there is merit to the winner or not.
No, in energy, we've really, really gone off the rails here in the last 4 years, and it's really on Biden. What's going to be fascinating as this administration and President Trump begins to change things. I know there's a move afoot to try to claw back some of this stuff that we're doing in energy, and to bring back, you know, the Green New Deal, and see if we can't stop some of that money from going out
right.
the door, and some that has. Well, as that happens, even the subsidies that aren't working to get wind, and like I said, that New Jersey story is huge. But the if there's uncertainty around wind subsidies, I don't know how the governor in Maine is going to reset her goals if you can't do offshore wind. And I don't think you can, just from a purely financial perspective.
Well, the feds denied a $496 million subsidy to the state government for offshore wind.
Right.
It isn't going to happen.
But that's
going to
be...
I mean, Janet can't pay the bills now.
So how do you refix your goals around this carbon goal that they have if you can't do that?
You can't. There's no way, because there's not enough money.
And so
to
in
do
the
it.
Meantime, what you've done is artificially restrict natural gas because we think that's bad. There's more available, but it's the most expensive in the country in Maine because we have a limited pipeline supply.
Pipeline, because Charlie Baker, a Republican governor down in Massachusetts
and New York,
decided to fight it there. And again, the whole problem here, you know who suffers for all this? It's not
people.
The government.
It's Maine people.
They just take more taxes.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
She's
no,
trying
Maine
to
people.
Do right now. It's the people of Maine who are already in the bottom five in the country in incomes. They're already the second highest tax burden people in the country.
Well, and it's even, but it's
they're
worse.
Struggling.
But it's worse than that,
it
Peter.
Worse.
We've got businesses that are curtailing their use this month. Because it's so expensive, because it got cold and the demand is up, so industry is cutting back. Think they're coming back in Texas?
No.
Think they're coming back in Florida?
No.
Think they're coming back in Pennsylvania?
No.
No. And so you become uncompetitive economically. Your prices go up. So people that are struggling harder. It's the most anti-human policy I've ever heard. To save what again?
It's all in the name of people who have gotten elected and suddenly forgetting that they are servants of GOV, but they are not GOD. Janet Mills thinks that 1.3 million people in the state of Maine are going to save the planet from global climate change. By the time 2030 rolls around, it won't be warming that we're worried about, I guarantee you. But no matter what we do here, as you rightfully pointed out, right now China uses 53.4% of all coal in the world.
Yeah.
They will be using more coal than the rest of the world in a few years. No matter what Janet Mills and her cockamamie crap come up with,
and
it will never impact the climate. It's ridiculous. But what she is doing is harming the working class of the state.
Well, that's right.
She's doing.
There's no question about it. Now, some people will tell you that China is also adding a lot of renewable, what they call renewable, intermittent weather-related or weather-dependent power generation, wind and solar. And they are. And the reason that they are buying electric cars and they're putting wind and solar on is addition. It's not instead of.
Right.
They need more.
That's what they don't get.
Why are they doing electric cars in China? It isn't because they're green. It's because they don't want to import oil from places that they can't control. And so electric cars work for them from an energy security perspective. They do everything based on that.
Right.
Now, listen, I don't admire the Chinese government by any stretch. But they get energy security. And we have too many people, especially in Augusta, who fundamentally don't understand what it means to not have energy security. And we're going so far is demand shifting. And I'm telling you, folks, demand shifting is the beginning of when they can tell you when you can have electricity and when you can't. And if we allow that to happen,
smart meters are all about?
The point, well, it's not just smart meters.
No,
it's
but
just,
that's the way you can go
that's
and
a technique.
But shut
now,
it off. Right.
But this is the first time that the PUC is going to say it's okay to do it.
Right. No. But what I'm saying is, so when the PUC says it's okay to do it, what is the method?
Now we have the technique.
Of
course, absolutely. But now that's...
Again, why are we doing this?
And we are providing a bill in our legislature this term to make that happen. And I got to tell you, folks, that is the most dangerous thing. If that's the case, we're done. It's time to just move.
And not only that, if they get this through, the next step is carbon credits for driving automobiles.
You just have to move.
Proposed three times. It has failed. But if they get that through, that's next. And so what does that do? That restricts your constitutional right to move around.
It's time to move.
It's bizarre.
The move around you'll do is to another state.
I keep saying she's a damn tyrant. She's worse than a tyrant because she is harming the poorest of the people of the state.
It's the most anti-human. We said it before.
Absolutely. Let's grab a call or two. The phone line's been ringing crazy. We have guests at 9:30. It is 9:21. You're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Good morning. Couple of things, Ray. Number one, George Washington said it first. Stay out of foreign entanglements. Get untangled from all the other states and take care of Maine. But that wasn't the reason I called. The reason I called is I have a proposal about education. We have an untapped resource called are retired and elderly who could do math, who could read, and who could at least provide basic education to children. Now, maybe they can't teach about AI because they're not up on it. But the point is there a way to perhaps give them a test on the subject so that they have a certification? Don't want to call it a certification because that's government. But they prove that they can do what they say.
So,
and then organize them to teach children who are not getting education
right.
and worried about their stupid pronouns.
Your point is incredibly well made. There's an organization known as SCORE. I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's about retired people helping those coming along with business and that kind of thing. It's the idea that you're talking about. Here's the problem with your idea. You would have to have an education department that actually cares about educating children for that kind of a theory to work. Right now, this is about social indoctrination, which is why when the nation's report card came out on education, Maine did so poorly, dead last in reading and mathematics for fourth graders. And not only dead last, this is really the worst part. We had the biggest drop in the nation on our way to dead last. So your idea has merit, but what you don't have is an administration and Janet Mills and Pender Macon who actually care about children being empowered through public school education. What they care about is indoctrinating them to believe a bunch of garbage that will not allow them to be productive adults and have a good life.
Mm-hmm. How about a way around them? I mean, maybe we don't have it called officially that, but just a group of
Well, no, there is a way around it. We're going to have to bring the public education system to its knees, and it is starting to happen. Families are fleeing. You know, it kills me, but my youngest son fled to Florida so their children could go to a top 100 school in the country because of the very poor efforts by the public school here. And I know that teachers get all butthurt about it, but at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. If you're a good teacher and you don't stand up for your profession because you're afraid of what it will do to your advancement, what are you advancing in? What are you advancing in?
Absolutely.
I just don't get it.
And I run into so many young people who can't do basic math, and a lot of it's because they can't read the problem correctly.
Yeah.
They have no background in logic, reason, cause and effect, all the things that allow you to solve problems.
Right. Well, we're that crippling these. I said it earlier today, and I've said it many times over the years. We are crippling these children. Words I can't say here, not that I would say them anyhow, but it is so unbelievable that we have allowed this cast of clowns to run things. They don't know what they're doing. They've never run anything but be involved in government. Is it any wonder they have failed? And they are failing. And this isn't a right-wing radio show host saying this. This is the nation's report card on education that any soul listening to my voice in any state in the country can go look up on Google and see precisely what I'm telling you. Hey, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Your idea is a great one, but we need the horses in the barn. 925, you're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Good morning. I got a couple questions for Matt. Got
to be quick.
Maybe I'll skip. The first one was, I'll just make an opinion. But the tech and the energy policies are directing us towards 5G city, smart cities, blah, blah, blah. Forget that. I want to ask Matt directly about the airplane crashes that's been happening. Matt, in your opinion, a plane comes in to land. It looks like it hit in Toronto. It looks like it hit hard. How do both wings, and is it possible both wings are gone and the plane is upside down? How do we square that, and why are we seeing so many plane crashes?
Yeah, that's hard to know. But a hard landing, it's not uncommon for wings to come off in a really hard landing. And my suspicion is that we're going to find out it was icing and bad winds up there and just flips over. So as far as frequency,
you know, I think one thing that's good to keep in mind is how many flights a day there are and how few accidents there really are. One is too many, but it's the safest mode of transportation yet, right, still. But, yeah, that was – I think we're going to find icing and bad wind.
The guy in Toronto, the spokesperson for the airport up there, alluded to that. He didn't say that was definitive, but he alluded to
that. Icing at low level. People don't realize how just a little bit of ice on a wing can really cause it so it won't fly. And I think that's what – you know, when a hard landing like that, it feels like – you know, they just fell out of the sky. And when you land that hard, you know, the wings actually are designed to flex a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah.
Well, where, are we going to see any more videos on this? Or, I mean,
You know, that's one thing we do really well is accident investigations. So I'm very confident we'll get the answers.
Hey,
all right, guys, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Let's try to grab one more, but you got to be very, very quick. It's 9:27. You're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Good.
I'll answer the question about the wings. I said on the news, I was watching the news, that plane's designed for the wings to snap off. That's how that plane's made. And because the guy said it works because the wing fell off. And that's how it's made. The wing breaks off.
I don't know who the guy was that said that. I hadn't heard that kind of thing before.
They had two gentlemen on from Canada that were, there's not to... the airplane board is up in Canada.
You know better than to trust the news.
Well, I think it's really important that anytime there's an accident to not believe the first things, right?
Yeah, right.
So they'll do an investigation. I mean, it was very windy. It was very cold. So ice and wind, a hard landing, stuff falls off. You know, whether or not you design it or not, that's kind of what happens.
And the guy in Toronto was very clear. He says it wasn't definitive, but ice and wind were a big factor here.
Have to be.
We all know. I mean, I'm a big boy. I mean, I'm a less big boy than I was. But yesterday, I was struggling to walk in the wind. We got to run. We'll be right back. Maine's locally owned and locally operated pharmacy has gotten a little bigger with a new store in Rockport. Community Pharmacy now has 9 locations to meet your needs. Find out more at communityrx.com. That's communityrx.com.
I joined the Maine Army National Guard because I wanted to help the people of my community, but I never knew how far that would take me. And while I'm here for my hometown, I'm also furthering my education. My part-time service is helping me do both. Join the team that can help you take charge of your future, just like I did, with the Maine Army National Guard. Go to nationalguard.com/ME to learn more.
Sponsored by the Maine Army National Guard, aired by the Maine Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It is 9:29. You're listening to 100.5 and WLOBRadio.com.
Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
There's a mixed report on manufacturing from the New York Federal Reserve. It says factory business recovered sharply this month in New York State.